Well, hey, welcome back, Insomniacs. You know, it's been a while. We'd love to keep you guys, you know, waiting in the wings. But I'm back today with a special guest, my dear friend Megan, who's here to talk with me about our top albums of the year.
Yes, hello. Pleasure to be here.
So, you know, 2021 was another, I would say it was like 2020 round two, except this time you could go out a little bit. So I feel like I really needed a lot of music because I'm like, I need something to get me through this. Because I feel like last year I really wasn't as down in it as everyone else was, just because I guess the first part I wasn't indoors. Also, I'm used to being inside. I love being inside. But, you know, I did get a little stir crazy. And for a while, I felt like no one was releasing music. I felt like I was waiting for, kind of begging people to release shit.
Yeah, I feel like... But I don't know, at the same time, I almost feel like the music industry didn't really have to stop because of, on account of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Taylor Swift really just kind of capitalized the fuck out of it.
I know, out of anyone.
But I think that Chromatica just got completely ruined, in my opinion.
Yeah.
That era was just kind of really sad because she wasn't able to tour. But Doja Cat, I feel like had a really great year specifically because she could tour.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder almost if a lot of these albums that would have been released in the second or the fourth quarter of 2020 that were then released in 2021 so they could have their runs.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's the business of it.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because Dua Lipa is just now next year. Yeah, doing her future nostalgia tour. And here we are still waiting for fucking Chromatica dates because she keeps either moving them or just being I don't know. Instead, she's love for sale, House of Gucci.
Oh, man, I did see House of Gucci and I walked out halfway through the movie.
I literally heard. Me either. I did. Well, we had tickets.
You saw it.
No, we didn't. So we had tickets to go see it. But then after hearing everyone talk shit about it, we were like, you know what? I'll wait until it comes out on demand.
The only reason why I went is because I was like, look, I pay for AMC A-list. It doesn't cost anything for me to go see this movie.
Yeah.
And again, I am fully prepared to walk out. And it pretty much waited as long enough to see the scene where they fuck Adam Driver and Lady Gaga, and I was I couldn't stop laughing, and nobody else in the theater was laughing. I was laughing multiple times in the movie, and I was this is not, I am not in the right audience.
Right? You're this isn't the right experience for me.
Some people paid a lot of money to actually go seriously see this movie, and I should respect that, so I'm gonna remove myself from the theater.
That's funny. Yeah, I also have AMC A-list. I don't want anyone to think I'm just throwing out movie tickets like that. I do not have that kind of money. This is not that kind of podcast. But yeah, everyone was just talking about how the movie was not great. And from the trailer, I honestly didn't really want to see the movie, but I was forcing myself because I'm like, I am a little monster. I guess I'll go. But no. I mean, after seeing that sex scene, I was just like, no, I can't do this.
I mean, that's probably the only reason any of us saw A Star Is Born, to be truthful. That's not the kind of movie that I would pick for myself.
It's ever. True. It isn't bad, but again, after watching it, I was like, bruh, is this literally the premise of Glitter? the Mariah Carey movie Glitter? Because it feels like it is. Except I had more fun watching Glitter.
Lady Gaga is just that bitch. She is just that insane that I'm and in reading all the stuff, all the press, everyone was concerned for her while they were filming. And I'm I want to see, did it translate?
I know. I'm what was the concern? Was it over her accent? Because it wasn't good.
It wasn't. Oh, that was actually, honestly, I was this is offensive to Italians. And not that I actually care, but I feel actual Italians would be sincerely, what the fuck?
But she is Italian.
I know.
Who knew that she was spicy meatball Italian, though? like just the stereotypical, I am Italian, not actually Italian. Well, I may not be a particularly ethical person, but I am fair.
I have no counter. That's all I can speak on.
So let's dive into our albums of 2021 then. I know for me, I like listen to music quite across the board, but you know, as my Spotify rap tells me every year, they're like, yeah, you're a pop girly though. Don't forget that. So I feel like a lot of my albums in my top are pretty much from, I think they're all pop albums actually. Maybe one or two may like venture a little outside of the main spectrum of pop, but yeah.
I'd have to agree. I have maybe three on this list that are alt, but that's also not saying much. I have one wild card that I really surprised myself with this year. But I mean, my artist of the year on Spotify was Taylor Swift, which I was honestly kind of really fighting against for a lot of the year. I really was like gunning for Phoebe Bridgers, and I was trying, actively really trying. But actively. You know, actively, I was like aware of it. I was like, okay, I'm listening to a lot of Taylor Swift right now. I should probably switch it up and go back to Phoebe. Because in my mind, Phoebe was my like artist of the year. But then she just, you know, Taylor Swift just has a way of making it up on top. And I was like, God damn it. So we're gonna have to reevaluate that for 2022. We're gonna have to rein that back in or.
Gotta really have to dial back on my Taylor Swift. No, it's really funny because guess who was the connecting artist for Grace and I this year?
Was it Taylor Swift?
Yes.
Oh my, that's a
surprise. I know, I said y'all wanted a fucking plot twist. That was the plot twist of the century for me. Because I'm like, you listen to Taylor Swift? Because I feel like she made so much fun of me that one time I told her, I was like, yeah, you remember I left your house last night? All right, so I started a trial for Apple Music so I could listen to Wildest Dreams. Just that song back in like, what was that, like 2015, back when
I think it's just hard because her discography is so expansive and I've been listening for so long and all of, you know, it's just such good music that like she's on every single one of my blended playlists with friends. Cruel Summer is like one of the top ones.
I mean, it's a great one. It's funny because I don't listen to that song that much. I was just listening to it a lot when we were watching that show on Freeform, not FX, Freeform, Cruel Summer. Because I was like, why didn't they use Taylor Swift's Cruel Summer as a theme song? And I played it during the beginning part once, and I'm like, why does this work?
I just think it's one of the best. I mean, because Lover isn't my favorite album. But like that definitely is one of the best, better pop songs. Like I probably place it in her top five next to Blank Space. I'm just free falling though, because I don't have to critically sit through and analyze Taylor Swift's album. But I absolutely would do that. But I do think that Cruel Summer would make my top five.
That's fair. I can agree with that. I don't know if it would be top five for me, but definitely top 10. Definitely a good top 10. I feel like if I did a top 10, it would be like almost one song from each album. Although I did really like Reputation. That one really brought me back as a fan.
You're one of those.
Well, it was when everyone else was being all like, I don't like Taylor Swift. And I'm just like, this is so fun. What are you talking about?
I will say that, unfortunately, Red is in my top 10.
Oh yeah, I was gonna ask how you felt about that, but then I was like, I don't know, it might be in your top 10. Let's not break too fast.
It kind of had to be, you know. But
that's fair. Well, let's talk about our honorable mentions then. So, what do you have on there?
Do you want me to just go ahead and list them all?
Yeah, let's just go ahead and list them because we're not gonna break down too much into these.
Fair enough. I did have to put Punisher, Phoebe Bridgers on there only because for me in my 2021, that was my album of the year, although it was released in October of 2020. I feel like she really didn't actually like get to do her whole like press tour and like tour of the album until this year. So I also put Fishmonger _. It's kind of, you're familiar?
A little bit. I've heard of the band. I have not heard the music.
It's pure hyperpop. I had a friend text me and be like, this is one of the best albums I've ever heard. Like, it actually beats Charlie XCX.
Do you know what's really funny? Is I think Underscore is open for 100 Gex. They did. They opened for Gex, and I missed it because I have literally only made one opener out of all of the concerts I've been to this year, which has been like upwards of 10. I've literally only made one opener this whole year. No, two. Wait. I got to see part of Cherry Glazer. I remember that.
Fair enough. I could have seen 100 Gex after the Lucy Dacus concert, but it wasn't the vibe. And I didn't know that that was playing after. So I was like, you know what? It's okay.
That's fair.
I also have Dawn of Chromatica on there, remix-wise. And then I have two... Hannah sent me this playlist called Misfits 2.0. Mm-hmm. And they update it every once in a while. But it's kind of like grunge, punk.
It's really kind of Hot Topic-esque music.
It's very Hot Topic. It's like we're driving down the highway going 20 miles over and we're twirling our hair while we like go to the thrift store vibes.
Yes. Love that description.
Yeah. And then my last honorable mention is Hana, The Streams, because that also had a grip on me. I will listen to her streams for hours.
H-A-N-A?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like Grimes's friend.
Hana. Okay, yeah. I like her a lot. She's very active. She's very active on Twitch.
Yeah. She has a consistent schedule, and then again, she will go for hours, and then she'll upload all of her streams, and, like, they're just very playable and, like, very, like, visually. It's very fun to just sit there and be high and, like, watch her her mixes.
Yeah, I was going to say, does she just mostly DJ and stuff during her Twitches, or does she play games and stuff, too?
The first one. She won't play any games. But every once in a while, she will kind of add vocals, like live vocals, like with a microphone. Mm. And she'll kind of like, you know, mix her voice in to the mixes. So, Justin's a dog cam, which is fun.
Dog cam, that's fun. Oh, okay, cool. So for me, this is very funny because, again, I feel like we're very... I wanted to pick someone to do this episode with me who is not necessarily how I listen to music, because I listen to a lot of recent music. So like pretty much all of my tops and honorable mentions are new releases from this year. Mm-hmm. So for my honorable mentions, I have Unlimited Ammo by Namacinda. I've been obsessed with this since it came out. I've been waiting for it because I've been waiting for a full album from Namacinda for a while. Super Monster from Claude. I thought that was really good. It's really gotten some good traction throughout the year because it came out in like March, and progressively, I think it's aged very well. Aged as if it is an old album.
Aged
now.
Like fine wine.
Yeah.
It's been 7 months now and it just...
Well, in music time, that's almost like 3 years. It's kind of weird.
Yes, it's true.
Kind of crazy on how like fast music moves, so like you can kind of forget about stuff all the time. That's why I keep this list very active and updated throughout the year. Life Fair Support enough. From Madison Beer. So at first when I listened to the album, I was a little underwhelmed, but I was like, because I wanted more up-tempo songs because she had Baby and Boy Shit, and I was like, oh, she's got some up-tempo songs, but those are the only two that are like that on the album. The rest is more like ballads and stuff, which seems to be her like wheelhouse. But I mean, I enjoy it because she can sing, like she's a very talented singer, and the lyrical content, once you really get into it, is really good as well. I don't know, very melancholic. So, you know, I really got into it after it came out, which I feel like was February, because I think we were supposed to get it like at the end of 2020, but she pushed it. And then Still Over It from Summer Walker. Mm-hmm. It's a more recent release because that was only like a month or so ago. But again, phenomenal singer. I've just been becoming more and more obsessed with this album as I listen to it. I like certain songs and I've become like very obsessed or hyper fixated on those songs, but... sans that, I'm like, I don't want to listen to the rest of the album though. And I also have Something for the Hotties from Megan. Now, I think this one's just like a little mixtape or whatever, so it's not like an official album. But it still had at least like 15 songs or something on it. But they're all like little short freestyles, which were all amazing. And I'm like, if anything, this was one of those releases that reminds you why you really like an artist. And in particular, this reminds me of her early work and why I really got into Megan. I mean, I love pretty much everything she puts out, but this really just, like, hit the hammer back home and be like, yeah, you remember why you're a stan?
I haven't listened. Honestly, maybe that needs to be my next thing, because I think Good News, I found it to be a little underwhelming, and it kind of, like, put me off. I actually didn't even realize that she had released a new album.
So. Oh, yeah. It was, like, a month or two ago. I think it was November.
Well, November's a rough one because Taylor Swift had a kind of chokehold on me, like literally and figuratively. So I wasn't really interested in listening to anything else.
Oh, well, while we're here, I do want to ask, what were your thoughts on the Adele album? Since this was also another new release that we had been waiting for as a stan base.
It didn't. I don't want to say that I was underwhelmed. But I also don't, I'm just not like a big ballad person.
Me
never really have been.
Well, I can be, but it depends on the artist or what the song is.
I feel like with all of her other albums in the past, there have been kind of certified bops, and I'm kind of waiting for a song or two to come out of 30 that like, I'm like, yes, this is going to be timeless and it's just going to be something that like I can go back to, but I don't know.
I agree. I was also just very whelmed with this album. Not over or under, just whelmed.
Yeah.
It was what you expect from Adele at this point in her career. It's consistent. I think the people who keep buying, who are buying 25 up until literally last week will still be buying. Will be buying 30.
But 25 is such a good album.
See, everyone says that, and I'm like, I really don't remember it that way. I only remember a few songs, if that. I remember 21 very vividly.
Hello, Send My Love, When We Were Young, Water Under the Bridge.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, maybe that's just it. But no, yes, I mean, 21 was obviously, like, Rolling in the Deep, rumor has it. Set Fire to the Rain, Someone Like You. Oh, God, that was 10 years ago.
I know. She can now do a 10-year anniversary.
I also love that she has gotten away with naming these albums the way she has.
Just the age she was at the time.
Yeah. And which, I think it works.
I know. It does. And Adele and I are, like, the same age.
There you go.
I think. At least I think so.
30, 31.
Something like that. So let's get into our top albums. What do you have in number 10?
Number 10 is Montero.
Okay.
I am not the biggest Lil Nas fan, but I can appreciate what he did with this album. Mm. And I did think that there were some good ones in there.
Certified bangers.
Certified bangers.
Yeah. I agree. I think his album was very good. It's not my top of the year, but I do think it is very good. It's, I don't know if, well, I can't say that. I definitely think it's probably worthy of the album of the year nomination that it got from the Grammys.
Mm-hmm.
Because out of all the albums that I did hear out of the year, in the mainstream realm, I feel like that was one of the top albums. It was like, he was doing a lot of different things. He tried a lot of different stuff, especially like when it came with tying his music into his the visual content as well, because he seems to be very involved in,
very aware of what he's putting out.
Yeah, like very into the message that he's putting with the, like, the visual message that he's putting with the actual lyrics and what he wants to say. And I can appreciate that.
I find him very refreshing.
Yeah, especially honestly, as a queer artist.
That too. I think like being like a gay black man and he's like very young, that I think that he appeals to a wider audience is like very impressive. And I've got to respect it, you know? So that's why he's my number 10.
He's very much the first of his kind.
Yeah.
But what were your tops from the album?
Montero, Void, and Am I Dreaming with Miley Cyrus.
I can agree with all of those. I really liked that last song. I was surprised by how much I actually did like it. Because I thought I was going to be like, Especially with the way it started. Really? Yeah. Although I love what Miley is doing with her music right now.
I was about to say that I feel like this is her golden age and like she's even aware of it. Like I feel like she's just finally found the kind of music that like gels with her voice. Mm. That kind of like Janis Joplin kind of like whiskey voice of like, it just feels very old, but like very new. And she's also hot as fuck. And it's just like aware of it in a very genuine way. Big fan.
Big fan. Yeah, honestly, I'm gonna be 100% honest. I have never heard a Janis Joplin song in my life. I do not know what the one sounds like. I'm gonna go on record and let everyone know that. I can't wait for Grace to listen to this episode back and be like, what?
Fair enough.
So my number 10 is To Hell With It by Pink Panthers. Okay. I would have put this album a little higher, but she sits squarely at number 10 solely for the fact that this album's runtime is literally 18 minutes. Like, I can listen to this entire album and take a poop. Like, to completion.
Immediately starts thinking of all the things you can do in 18 minutes or less.
Yeah, like, and that's including washing my hands and walking out of the bathroom. So I had to put her down there, but I'm kind of obsessed with her. Like, I really want her. I almost bought tickets to Primavera LA just to go see Pink Panthers because she's on the lineup. But then I was like, I don't want to go see anyone else there. But my top three songs were Pain, All My Friends Know, and Break It Off, which two of those are like, you know, TikTok songs. So I don't know what that says, but.
Have stopped attaching meaning to the fact that it's a TikTok song. You know, I don't view it as an inherently positive or a negative thing. It's just, you know, oh great. Like when Lana started like putting like being trended in songs, I'm like, no, I don't know what that says about anything, but I'll just take it.
That's fair. All right, number 9.
Mine is Flowers for Vases, by Hayley Williams, which I forgot came out this year. And then I saw that it was in 2021. And my top three songs were My Limb, I can't say, Asistole, and Descansos.
No idea.
I didn't realize that. I was looking at the like listen count on her songs off this album, and it has less than 1 million or 2 million for most of them. Mm. So I didn't realize that this wasn't like a widely received thing, even within like the Paramore fans. Like it was just, and she also didn't do any press or like, you really have to, I feel like, follow her closely on Twitter in order to have known that she was even releasing music during this time.
Yeah. I mean, I knew it was out just because like I saw it in the new releases for that particular week. And I did skim it, but I did not care for it. I just don't like Hayley's solo music.
Yeah, no, for sure. I'm like going to be very happy when she goes back to Paramore. I mean, I can't like speak on it to being like that fantastic. And if anything, it feels very underproduced. It just kind of feels like a garage album, if anything. Mm-hmm. But like, I am a sad girl.
Yeah.
And it spoke to me on that level. So.
That's fair. Yeah. I can definitely feel you on that because her music is very much that. But yeah, I feel like the only solo song that she's done that I like is Dead Horse.
Dead Horse, but the Glass Animals remix.
I don't even remember what that one sounds like.
I think I sent that to you, and I said this is what she thought she sounded like with the original version.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So, yes, I like the Glass Animals remix, but...
I think there's also a Carolyn Polachek remix as well.
Oh, is there? I'll have to check that out.
I want to say there is. But I remember the remixes were really good. Hilarious. Yeah. She said she's doing a pair... They're doing a Paramore album next year, so I'm very interested to see... what direction they go in, since the last album was like very 80s. I'm wondering what they're going to do this time.
It was 80s and it was complainative. Like, I realized all she does, because I know Grace said that she didn't love that album, and I've been trying to sit there and be like, why doesn't she like After Laughter? It's because all Hayley Williams does is complain in like all of the songs about how life sucks. And I'm like, you know, I mean, it resonates with me, but I could see how somebody could find that album annoying. I suppose.
Isn't all music complaining?
Maybe so.
Maybe so. So number 9 for me was Lately I Feel Everything from Willow.
Oh, I hadn't even thought about including her. Damn it.
I loved this album. I love that she's going in this rock direction. This is another, you know, artist where I'm like, oh, yes, you really need to go that way. Because I'm like, it suits her so well, especially with, like, I mean, I'm not a huge fan of, like, a lot of her other music. I mean, I love I Whip My Hair, and then I'll play Fireball featuring Nicki Minaj every once in a while. But other than that, I really don't listen to a lot of Willow's music, other than, like, what's that one where it's like, I left my mind in the fourth dimension?
Yes, yes.
I'm also obsessed with that Meet Me at Her Spot song. I do love that song.
Yes. Caught a vibe. Baby, are you looking for the ride? Yeah. Back in my head.
Yeah, exactly. So now we're going to spend the rest of the day trying to get that out of our heads. But my favorite.
What are your top three from that?
Yeah, my top three were Grow featuring Avril Lavigne, which weirdly enough, this song had to grow on me because I didn't like it when I first heard it. But, you know, now I love it. I don't know. Avril Lavigne's also got a great return to form going on. Because she's...
She has.
Yeah. I mean...
I feel like every time she comes back into the spotlight, she's still an A-lister. And it's kind of no question. Just like, oh, there's Avril Lavigne again. Like, she doesn't ever have to rise back up to where she once was. She's just like, pop in.
Exact. Despite the fact that she released a fucking Christian album. Like, that was the last album she did. True. I know, I'm like, oh, we just gotta forget about that.
I think we are.
And she just pops back in with Travis Barker as if nothing happened. Speaking of Fair which, enough. He is in like everyone's shit these days, like bringing everyone back to where they belong to be. I'm like, he's like the Thanos of pop or like punk music right now.
If you showed me a picture of who he was, I wouldn't know. Like, I wouldn't be able to recognize him. I don't think I know what Travis Barker looks like.
From Blink-182, the drummer? He's just skinny and has a bunch of tattoos.
Was he the one that's... No, I was going to say, he's the one that's dating Megan Fox, but...
No, he's dating... he's dating Kourtney Kardashian, but he does look a lot like Machine Gun Kelly. Okay. He's like Machine Gun Kelly, only a little bit shorter and black hair. It's almost the exact same dude. White guy, bunch of tattoos. Exactly. I need to see, like, a side-by-side of them because, like, I can guarantee they almost look like they could be brothers. But the other songs from the album I liked were Naive and Extra featuring, I think that one was with Tierra Whack.
Yeah. I probably gave Willow's album a listen once in full and then that was kind of it, but.
I bought it on vinyl. Most of the albums I liked from this year, I did buy on vinyl. So most of the ones I have in my top, I do have. Yeah, actually, let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 out of the 10 I have on record.
All right. Very good.
So what's your number 8?
Number eight is kind of a surprise, and it's very unlike any other ones, but this is God is Partying by Andrew WK.
Oh my God.
Because it's a very classic rock album. Have you listened? Do you know?
No, not at all.
Oh. Nora actually put me on to it because we were just listening to this one song. I don't know. I was like, you know what? I actually really like it.
That's really funny.
And my top three songs on it are No One to Know, Babylon, and Remember Your Oath.
And you said this is a classic rock album?
Yes. It sounds like modern day Journey in a way.
That's interesting. Well, the only song by Andrew WK I've ever heard is the party rock song, or Let's Get a Party Going, Let's Get a Party
Going. I think Nora actually said, like, because this came out around the same time as Kesey Musgraves' album.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're both quote unquote divorce albums.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you were either like Kesey Musgraves or Andrew WK. It's like listening to either of those
albums. You mean you were either straight or gay?
Maybe so. And I didn't listen to this album until a couple weeks ago. And I was like, wait a minute. I actually kind of really like this. I'll listen to it when I'm driving. So,
yeah, because I listen to Kesey Musgraves instead.
But... No, I did. Well, I did as well. I mean, believe me. And what's your number eight?
So my number.
I can't speak on this album anymore.
You're like, I really don't have enough to speak on. I just enjoyed it. So my number eight is a new artist I found this year called Rochelle Jordan, and it's her album Play With The Changes.
Okay.
She's from the UK. This is like definitely like a house music, like house electronica music album. I don't know. It's very alt R&B, has a lot of house elements, has a lot of, electronic stuff in there. She reminds me of Kalila a lot, if you've ever listened to her.
Mm-hmm.
Especially vocally. They have a lot of the same vocal range. And their musical arrangement seems to be a little similar, too, just in the sense of doing the same type of music. But this was a really great album. I loved it. I only found it because some random gay on Twitter was just talking about it. And I was like, well, sometimes they know what they're talking about. So I'll go listen to it. And loved it. Fell in love. My favorite songs are Got 'Em, All Along, and Love You Good. Great songs. I think they're all like in the top three. Like one of the first three songs from the album. But great stuff. Great stuff. What you got for number seven?
Sour, Olivia Rodrigo.
Wow. This far down?
As soon as it was upcoming, I was like, this is probably gonna, yeah. I don't, Phoebe really got to me this year. And so I really got deep into the sad girl for, again, a lot of this year. And so I didn't really like listen to Sour as much as I thought I would, but that's not to say like there are some very like it's one of the best albums to come out of this year, and I recognize that, like, it's probably like chart topping, and honestly, like, I would put it as impressive as like the fact that she has gotten as high as she has on the charts and in terms of like breaking records and stuff. It's comparable to Taylor Swift. And I think the fact that she's competing with Taylor Swift on this chart with her first debut album is so impressive.
And
so I recognize what she's doing.
And a song on her album that samples Taylor Swift as well.
That too. And my three favorite songs are Brutal, Happier, and Good For You.
Okay. Those track with what I would peg as your tops for your personality.
Fair enough.
Number seven for me was another artist that I just started listening to this year, Magdalena Bay. And
I've heard of her, them.
yeah, they're a duo. They're a
Her.
little pop,
Okay.
they're a little pop duo. But this was their debut album, actually. Like, they've been around for a little bit. I think since like 2017 or something like that, but this is their debut album, and as their debut, I will say this is probably like, I don't know, this is a very good debut album to the point of like making this the standing point of your discography and being like, oh, this is who we are. I mean, I know that's usually what people do with self-titled albums because that's a very defining album for an artist, but this was very good for a debut. Especially since, again, one, I never heard of them before, and for the type of music that they make, because they make like electronic pop music, I should have heard them. Like, they should have popped up on something of mine over the last like 5 or so years, but no. But I'm happy that I
I
know who them now.
definitely, I've heard, yeah, I've heard of them. But I feel like it's because, like, I've written down the ones that I need to listen to, that you've mentioned, like Rashaud Jordan and Pink Panthers. Because I feel like you tweet out a lot of music, and I do, in fact, like, always listen to the stuff that you, like, put out or you tweet out. So I'm, like, familiar with these names, but I haven't, like, dived in
Right.
outside of what you tweet.
That's fair. Yeah. If you ever
I'll put
want,
them on the list to listen, especially if they're like electro pop.
yeah, if you ever want music suggestions, I'm always privy with those. Plus, I have a playlist that I put together every year. Well, I've started calling it just like mixtape, and then I'll name it whatever the year is. But I have one for this year that I'll be putting out in a little while. It's probably going to be like 200 tracks of songs that I listen to this year. So they span all over the place.
Okay.
But my top songs from this album were Secrets, You Lose, and Something for Two. But
Okay.
one of the number one things I love about this album is the album ends with a song called The End, and that ends with a song called The Beginning. And if you listen to both of them, because honestly, if you play the album on repeat, like on Spotify, the songs loop into each other, which is great because I love an album that is, I forget what the word is, but like you can continuously play it. So you don't have to worry about like hearing that silence between a song or anything like that. It just seamlessly blends into the next song. I love those types of
Okay.
albums because Chromatica is definitely one of those.
I agree.
All right, number six.
Number six, we have Starcrossed, Kacey Musgraves.
Nice, nice, nice.
She, I was anticipating on her being higher up on the list, but there are just some sleeper songs on the album that I just cannot get behind, and like I have not, I've ceased to, but the one, like the songs that I do love off of the album are like my mainstays that I always go back to.
I can feel you on that.
Some, yeah, my top three songs from the album are Breadwinner, Good Wife, and I don't know why I like that song as much as I do, but, and Starcrossed, of course.
Oh, okay. Did you
Oh, also Simple Times, but like,
for different reasons?
I think maybe that's probably what I meant when I said Starcrossed, because I was thinking Simple Times. So forget I said Starcrossed at all, because I'm like, wait a minute. Go ahead.
Did you watch the whole little film that went along with it?
I did, yes.
How'd you feel about that?
It was fun. I thought it was fun.
I thought it was
Like,
so
for.
random that like Simone and Princess Nokia and what's her face, that one actress from Hill House was on there.
Victoria Pedretti.
Yeah, Pedrotti.
It's true. It's true. I think it like she yeah, that's it's very true.
Yeah, but I guess they're just
But I
like
think
friends
it
of hers.
works. I guess they're just maybe yeah, maybe they're like actual friends or I don't know. I think that they look nice as like peripherals
Yeah. Kacey
to
Musgraves is friends
Kacey.
with a lot of random people. That's just the life of this of a celebrity, I guess. You're just like, oh yeah, that's my friend. But I also really enjoyed that album, but ironically enough, she is not on my top. I mean, I
Not
liked
really. I thought you were going to say that she was.
No, I like Starcrossed, but it's no golden hour. It's not like when golden hour, I heard it, I was like, this is going to win. And I saw that it was nominated in the Grammys. I was like, this is going to win album of the year. I know it. Now this, where it's settled now, it wasn't even, I don't think it was even nominated. They just nominated her for pop vocal and for the song, for Camera Roll. Mm-hmm. And I can see why, because Camera Roll is a really good song, especially for that like forlorn, country, sad vibe that, you know, they like really want to evoke from that genre, I feel. Because I mean, honestly, I feel like that's what country really is. It's just really sad.
It's true. I mean, I felt like it was good. Like, it makes sense in terms of like where she's going, and it's obviously a little more poppy than anything else, but I don't know. It was okay.
I mean, I'm ready for her to stop teasing and jump over into pop like Taylor Swift.
It's true.
Because I think she would do well over there, especially to do something. She could probably do... She could easily be like a main pop girl, I feel, if she wanted to be.
I think the thing that like works really well for like country girlies specifically, and I'm just basing this off of like the one example of Taylor Swift, mm-hmm. but I think like the reason why she is so successful in pop is that the writing style of songs and how you portray emotions and like just write country songs, I think translates well, really well into a pop kind of beat. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering, because like I also love like Same Trailer, Different Park. I didn't I got into that album and listened to it pretty heavily, like it when Starcross came out. So I was like, she's got some cute stuff.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever listened to that one. I need to go back and listen to it because I've been meaning to like venture into her old material just so I can know what it all sounds like, but. I know that was definitely one of the ones that people love from her. So for me, my number six was... Now, this, I believe, is a mixtape versus, like, an album, but Can You Hear Me Now from Elio. So this was, like...
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Her debut... I think this is her debut EP, actually. But I became obsessed with Elio this year as well. Another new artist... that I became obsessed with. I just love her songwriting and how vulnerable her music can sound, but at the same time, you know, you can dance to it. It's very much, I always think of, whenever I think about like sad music you can dance to, I always think about Tegan and Sarah's Heartthrob album, because like every song is like, if you read the lyrics, it's super sad, but you're just like bopping. You're like, yeah, I'm gonna dance sometime.
That's what I feel about Silk Chiffon. Like, it came into, like, sorry, when that came in, I mean, I was literally, like, it was a sad part of the year, and just be, like, sobbing, actually making noises. I was sobbing so hard, and I just had that song on repeat. Silk Chiffon, yeah. You know?
I do love Mana. Honestly, Mana can do no wrong. They're literally, like, one of the best bands ever. Like, I was listening to a remix for they did for Katy Perry's Bon Appetit yesterday at work.
Okay.
And I completely forgot about it because it was saved in my liked songs. And I was like, why does Mana always make such good fucking remixes? Like, their albums are good too. Because I remember their most recent one, I forget what it was called, Mana Saves the World. That was one of my tops of 2019. I loved that album. Okay. But, you know.
As an aside, since you mentioned Katy Perry, I was just so happened to be listening to Teenage Dream yesterday. I guess there's a California Girls remix on there that is so bad. I was like, this is one of the worst. I realized maybe at the time when it came out in 2010 that, like, it was probably the shit. But, like, I'm always very cognizant of, like, remixes, like, EDM remixes and how they would hold up today. And it is just absolute shit. I mean, I will send it to you after this because it is just so bad.
Yeah, I was going to say you have to. Well, I can't say I love bad remixes because that's not true. I just laugh at them. But my tops from Can You Hear Me Now were Hurts to Hate Somebody. Absolutely love that song. When You Saw Love and Jackie Onassis. Honestly, I thought Jackie Onassis was going to be one of my top songs of the year. because it has literally been on every single mix of mine, and I always listen to it. I never skip it. But it wasn't, and I was very shocked.
I've definitely heard that song before, but I couldn't tell you how it goes, because that's definitely one that you've tweeted out.
Ah, yes. Elio also did a little... I don't want to say remix, but the whole a remix EP album thing with a bunch of friends of hers, where she just redid songs, all of her songs from this EP and a previous one. And it's just different random artists and stuff on it. There's one with Baby Girl, Black Star Kids. I want to say Samia is on one. But that one's also really good too. It's a really good little remix. Because it's nice to hear songs reworked in a different way. Especially when they take it more up tempo and stuff like that.
Fair enough.
All right. What's your number five?
Number five is the Red re-release.
Okay.
It was one of those things where I wasn't thinking anything of it really, and I wasn't expecting much out of it. What would she do? Speak Now, when it came out, I was like, I feel like she just kind of was like, here you go. And then she actually had things in mind to promote Red. But of course, I think it just has a way of sucking me back into when I was 16.
Yeah.
and yeah. So my top three from that are Nothing New, featuring Phoebe Bridgers. At first I was like, I don't like this song. And then I listened to the lyrics and I was like, this is actually really sad and obviously resonates with me.
Yeah, I was about to say that. I was like, honestly, one of the saddest fucking songs and I love it.
How long will it be cute, all this crying in my room? Relatable.
Yeah.
All Too Well, the 10-minute version, simply because, it is so messy. All of this Jake Gyllenhaal stuff is hilarious, and, it's so childish of her. But I love it. I live for it. And then I kind of rediscovered the song Stay, 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 which, it kind of just has this, annoying little tune, but I think it's cute.
I can agree with the annoying little tune, because every time I think of it, it's just ding, ding. Ding. It sounds like Christmas music almost. Shopping in a supermarket.
No, I am a fan of those cute little especially country songs. Casey Musgraves has that song Follow Your Arrow from her early music. I don't know, I'm just I like cute little ballads.
Gonna edit that out.
Your number five.
So my number five is Planet Her from Doja Cat.
Okay.
So when the album first came out, honestly, me and our other friend were clowning the shit out of it because we're all like, this is not Hot Pink at all. And I was a huge Hot Pink fan. But, you know, it's not like I didn't like any the songs on Planet Her, obviously, because I do, because they're on my top five. But I hated the sequencing of the album when it first came out, because I was just like, why are these songs where they are? They just don't seem to be in a good order, because Woman and Naked sound very similar. And I'm like, why would you put them back to back? But also I was like, why would you put Kiss Me More at the end after Alone? Because I'm like, Alone is clearly a closer, like an album closer, and then you're like, I want to put Kiss Me More after it. And I'm like, why? I think Kiss Me More should have been either after Woman or after Naked. It needed to be somewhere up there.
I think I can agree with the placement, the issue of the placement of the album, because it doesn't really you're right. It's not really as cohesive as a whole. But I feel like when I come to Doja Cat, I don't know, her music is just so all over the place anyways that I don't think I mind it.
Yeah. Especially since the way I've been listening to the album since then is, you know, I'll just listen to the random songs. So it's very much, I appreciate when artists put together their albums in a way that's like, oh, it was very much intended to be listened to, like, from start to finish as it is. Like, you can jump around if you want, but the full intention of it is it to be that way. And then there's other artists who are just like, oh, I just put together a collection of music. So it's more like how I think of the Rumors album by Fleetwood Mac, where I'm like, there's like zero cohesion to it. They're just, it's great songs, but they're all just like very random and thrown together on a record. And it's like, it's a good record because all the songs are good, but none of them go together really.
Fair enough. What are your songs? I'm curious.
So Love to Dream, which interestingly enough, this one kind of grew on me. Because when I first heard it, I was just like, I like the rapping portion versus the singing portion in the beginning. But, you know, now I like the whole thing. Woman, when I first heard it, I was obsessed. And Options, featuring JID. I just love the melody of that. Or is it the melody? Or maybe it's like the top line of the, like, dun dun dun, you know, we both got mm-hmm. options.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the top line, but Love that. Also, I think that I'm usually not a huge fan of features from rappers, especially because they can sometimes ruin a song. And I'm going to directly reference FKA Twigs' Holy Terrain with frickin', I forget who even's on it, but I was listening to it yesterday and I was just like, ah, oh, this song's so good. And then he came and he was like, and I'm like, if you don't get the fuck out of here. But JID went off on this. And I would say, like, you know, some of her features can be either hit or miss, because I didn't like the feature with The Weeknd on...
Yeah.
Oh, God, what song is that? Whatever. Whatever song he's featured on. I don't know. I didn't like...
I know. I was, like, I was literally looking at the track list earlier, but...
Yeah. But anyway, what's your number four?
If I Can't Have Love, Halsey.
If I Can't Have Love, I Want Power.
Oh, I Want Power. I'm sorry.
Titty out.
I was running out of page on the page. Yes. I don't know. This is an album that I just kind of keep coming back to, and I keep coming back to, like, very specific songs, but then I'll just kind of, like, let the rest of it play. I think, like, it's definitely... I don't know. I feel like Halsey's more aware of herself than she was with, like, Hopeless Fountain Kingdom, because I think that was obviously, like, very fantastical. Mm-hmm. And I think she was kind of just, like, lost in playing a character. But this feels like the more genuine Halsey, that she's kind of come back down. And, yeah, it's just more aware of herself. So,
yeah,
I was a fan.
I can agree with that, too. It's definitely interesting that you mention Tragic Fountain Kingdom, because that would be another one of her, I guess, concept albums. Because it was mm-hmm. within this whole fantastical realm of modern day LA Romeo and Juliet type scenario. And in this one, it was kind of like a medieval fantasy mm-hmm. of sorts, especially with the visual film. Because I went and saw the film, and I will say that after seeing the film, I was very much just like, girl, what is this?
No, I agree. I feel like it's a lot. Like, she just kind of throws a lot at you, and then you kind of have to, like, pick apart. So I didn't love the, like, visuals that she... I was like, I was like, this is a lot.
The visuals felt...
It's actually ruining...
the music.
It's ruining my experience.
They felt a bit like an afterthought. And then she was trying to be too artsy, edgy. I'm working with Atticus Ross and Trent Reznor.
Yeah. But my... three songs off the album were Darling, because I do love a good, like, slow guitar acoustic vibe, Girl is a Gun, and Honey. I think somebody was saying on Twitter, like, would it really be a Halsey album if she didn't have one song about eating a girl out?
Right.
Just because Honey's not related to any of the other songs in the slightest, but it's a bop.
Yeah. It is a bop, though. Like, I love the production of it, because it's definitely a pop rock song, mm-hmm. like, at its core. And I think that's why this album works really well, because, again, it's very much like how we're talking about Miley Cyrus and her voice lending very well to the rock genre because of the raspiness and whatnot. Halsey's voice also lends very well to that because she can be very melodic, like we've heard in like Manic. But, you know, with this, she really gave us a whole different side of her. And I really appreciated it. I mean, it didn't end up in my tops just because, like, you know, I liked a handful of songs and I was like, I can't warrant this being in my top just from these handful. But the one of the songs, I think it was it 22 something? 2200? I don't know. That was one of the songs, yeah, I really liked from that album because I love that lyric. It's like, my heart is big, but it is empty. And I'm like, I feel you, girl.
Yeah, no, I think, well, I remember, like, I feel like Halsey fans, very select few of us, were, like, so pumped when Nightmare.
Yes, I loved Nightmare.
Because we were like, this is the direction I want her to go in. And I feel like this album's a little more of the direction that I wanted her to go in. And you're right, there are some sleeper songs on there, but I felt like, for me, the majority, there were more songs that I vibed with than not.
Yeah.
So that's why it's number four.
That's fair. Ugh, love Nightmare. Justice for our fallen sister. Because she should have been on Manic. I'm like, it would have fit perfectly in there. It's like the whole album was a collection of just thoughts and stuff. So I think it would have fit well with the theme, like thematically as well. Even as a promo single that was attached at the end. But my top four is Poster Girl by Zara Larsson. And like I said, Poster Girl.
I got it.
Poster Girl! Have you heard that song? Material Girl!
No.
I'll have to send that to you. It's Saucy Santana. Okay. Material Girl! But anyway, I love Zara Larsson. She's definitely, well, I can't even say she's underrated because globally she's very recognized. But she's definitely someone that people, I feel, forget about, especially with music moving as fast as it does these days, because she was on the radio a lot, like, years ago, back when her first album came out. But this album was another good pop addition for her. It was very, I can't say super intimate per se, but like when you get into the lyrics and whatnot, you really get to like delve inside of her brain. Because I listened to a podcast about her talking about this album and she was talking about like how when she was a kid, she used to have like posters of like artists and stuff in her room and whatnot. And seeing her go from, or like hearing her go from, like, you know, being that kid who was like, oh, I have these posters of these artists on my wall and I want to be like them, to actually being one of those girls that it's like now on the poster, is kind of crazy. It's like very full circle. And, you know, I often forget about that because, you know, we only know these artists in a certain aspect of like very tertiarily. So to think about like their journey and stuff like that in that sense, especially, maybe it's because I have like a different view of like Swedish pop stars, because I always feel like there's so many of them and Swedes are so good at making pop music. I'm like, maybe they just like an academy somewhere, like how they do with K-pop.
Honestly, probably.
Because I mean, with the K-pop market, they're like, oh, we have like a whole program where we train the kids and whatnot. But, you know, they really just be popping them out over there in Sweden.
No, that's true. There is some sort of phenomenon that it comes with her. I'm like, where did you come from and why are you so good? Yeah. Like Aurora and Sigrid. Like, I'm just thinking of like all those Norwegian, Sweden, like Finland pop stars that I'm like, yeah.
I think
they have their place and they do it well.
I think Mo is also from over there. And Robin, all these random girlies. They're always blonde white women. Aren't they?
I mean, who else lives in Finland, really?
I mean, you have a valid point. You have a very valid point. So my favorite songs from Poster Girl were title track Poster Girl, Talk About Love, and Need Someone. I love Need Someone because it's like a disco track. Honestly, this whole album you can dance to because it has a lot of really great dance tracks, especially... don't know. There's somewhere it's more like slow dancing, where you're just doing that thing where you're like, oh, just hitting the moves. But it's a lot of really good dance music. And if you haven't heard it, you definitely should, because it's amazing. Okay. So what's your top? We're getting into the top three. These are the heavy hitters of the year. These are, I will go listen to this as soon as this is over, probably.
I actually listened to all three of my top albums before.
You're like, this morning.
This morning. Okay, so my number three is Planet Her, okay. Doja Cat. And my three songs off the album are Naked, Woman, and Kiss Me More. Certified bops. And I feel like, I don't know, there was a moment on Twitter where I think she was playing it like in Austin, like Austin City Limits ACL, where like I was seeing a lot of those videos of her and it kind of hit me. And I think it kind of hit like Twitter in general of like, oh, she's a pop star. Like she's reached stardom with this album. And I think that's very exciting because I've been following Doja for, I guess, a couple of years now. And I forget that like not everybody has, but like I've been a fan of her for a decent amount of time now. And I feel like this is one of her best albums, if not her best, as disjointed as it may be.
I agree. Because I feel like you probably got into her around the same time that me and our other friend did, because we listened to...
Just because Go to Town.
Oh, no. I was thinking of back in college, the other song, So High.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was when I first started listening to her, and then she disappeared for a while, and then she came out with Amala. And then Hot Pink and then Planet Her. So it's been, ever since she came back, well, or at least resurfaced with more music, she's definitely been like on an upward trajectory, especially like, I would say just artistically from those albums as well. Because you could see like the, back with like stuff like Go to Town, you really see like the beginning stages of like, you get her concepts and like, what she was trying to get across and how cheeky. She's very tongue-in-cheek, so she loves to be very, like...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen her on social media. She loves to be very, you know, out there, and I appreciate that, because actually, I think that's what makes her so interesting. It's very much like how people were very enamored with Lady Gaga and how, like, bizarre and stuff like she would be and like what she would do just to like shock people. And again, I was listening to another podcast where she was talking about like how an earlier, or at least Lady Gaga, she was talking about how in early her career she like wanted to shock people just to like get them to pay attention to her music. And I mean, mm-hmm. I can see like how Doja Cat kind of does a bit of the same thing, but it's very much her personality. It's just ingrained into her. And I appreciate that. I think that's what people connect with a lot with her. It's kind of in the same regard of why people like Cardi B so much. It's like she's very
relatable. I was about to say, like, she's very herself. I also just feel like Doja has, like, never really had a bad album. Like, I can't look at her discography and say, like, oh, this one's objectively worse than the other. Like, I think they kind of all have very solid
mainstays. I agree with that. I think, I guess, like, really the only thing is I'm just kind of waiting to see what she does next. Also, I did really, I was a little disappointed that for Planet Her, she didn't have all female features. Because I think if you're going to name an album Planet Her, you should do that. Be like, maybe. All female features on Planet Her. Why? Because it's Planet Her, not Planet Her and Him. Sometimes. Yes.
Planet Them.
That's the next one. The non-binary planet. Planet They.
What was your number three?
My Charlie? Number three was A Touch of the Beat Gets You Up on Your Feet, Gets You Out and Then Into the Sun by Allie and AJ.
Not expect. I don't know what I was thinking. But wow, all right.
You're the second person to tell me that, to say that they were surprised that I listened to Allie and AJ, and I'm like,
I shouldn't be.
I'm a huge stan. I've been listening to them since their like albums with Disney. I bought that. I went and bought that shit on vinyl as soon as it came on Urban. They're like, "Oh, here's a copy of Into the Rush," and I'm like, "I need it. I need it right now." They're definitely another like we're talking about artists with like upward trajectory. They've definitely been on like an evolutionary process since they've left Disney, because I mean they were 78 Violet for a little bit, and then they got to use it. I think they were only that because they couldn't use their name because of some type of contract BS. But once they got back to releasing their music, they did that EP 10 Years and then Sanctuary. Those were really good. And, you know, it's very, their music is very much evolved from the original mainstream pop, or at least like trying to be more generalized pop to alternative, because they like to add different elements and stuff in there. I can hear a lot of, especially with this album, there's a lot of rock influence, I would say like folk and stuff like that. So they've definitely evolved into where I think that they'll probably be for the rest of their careers, like like musically, where their pop music will be a bit more left of center and a little bit more unexpected than one would, because I mean, as soon as I said this was my third album of the year, you laughed because you thought it was some, because I'm sure you're like, oh, it probably sounds like this. It's like, whatever you're thinking it sounds like, it probably doesn't sound like that.
Fair enough. Yeah, I'm immediately thinking like Disney level, but I know that's not the case. I just haven't really, like,
it's very, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, if you haven't been following them for the years that I have, which I feel like a lot of people haven't, because they're I won't say they're underground per se, but they're definitely, you know, less mainstream than they were when they initially started out, because everyone knew them because of Disney Channel. But love this album. My top three were Listen with 3 exclamation points, because that's how it's stylized on the album. Paradise and Stomach.
Okay, very nice.
Really fun stuff. You should definitely go listen to it if you haven't. But what's your number what's your number two?
My number two is VBS Lucy Dacus.
You say VBS?
I had to VBS, like Vacation Bible is what it's
I thought it was VHS for some reason.
Oh wait, is it it might be VHS. I think you're right. Whoops. Well, she has her song, her main song is,
oh, okay,
right? Am I crazy? Home video. We're both wrong. Home Video is the name of the album. Okay. I'm sorry, Lucy.
But the album cover looks like a VHS thing.
Yes, and she does have a song called VBS. Okay. I will just speak on this because, and the reason why it's number two, because I almost put Doja as my number two. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why I love this album. It's gotten a lot of critical, like it's made the top 100 or top 50 albums of the year for like NPR and like, I don't know, music critics really like the album.
Yeah, she's on a real upswing right now. Like everyone's loving her, because who did I go see and they brought her out? I went and saw Local Natives, and one of their openers brought her out, but I can't remember who the opener was. And I was just like, wait a minute, isn't she from like the DMV?
She's from Richmond, Virginia. Yeah. Yeah. So I think that there's a lot. I wouldn't have gotten into her if not for having gotten into Phoebe Bridgers, because I remember seeing the whole Boy Genius, like the trio. I haven't gotten into Julie Baker. I don't know if I can. but Lucy came out, and then I kind of realized, I was like, oh, she's exactly my age. She grew up like 2 hours drive away from me. And then she had this kind of like, article where she was talking about, like, I was someone who came out, but never really did. And like, has this kind of like, you know, like religious trauma. And I don't know, I feel like I resonate with her on a personal level. Like I really relate to her, and I completely understand where she's coming from. She also lives in New York. In like Brooklyn, and has been to like some of the same bars and stuff that I've been to. So I have like a nice personal connection to her, but also, I don't know, lyrically, and also like, honestly, like vocally, she's better than Phoebe as far as I'm concerned. Like, she just has incredible vocals. And my favorite three songs off of the album, which are the saddest songs you've probably ever heard in your life. They're called Thumbs, Please Stay, and Christine. So
I listened to the album once just to hear, because I heard that you also had really liked it, because, again, our other friend was telling me about it. So I was like, okay, I'll listen to it. I remember liking it, but I haven't gone back to do, like, a deep dive and figure out which songs I like the most. I just thought, like, overall that it was very palatable and I liked it because it gelled with the music that I usually listen to and stuff like that. But I will agree with you on that. She is very much definitely a stronger vocalist than Phoebe. But you said is she gay?
She's queer. She's queer.
Okay, because I feel like it's really funny because I feel like a week or so ago when I was on Twitter, someone said something about like Phoebe Bridgers soft launching her boyfriend. And I was just like, boyfriend? Is she not a lesbian? And I was like, oh, honestly, she's bisexual.
I can't be mad because what's his name? He's from that one show that I started watching but didn't keep up with. What's his name? Paul Mescal.
Paul Tequila?
You're like, I don't know who he is.
I know, I was like, is it Mezcal Tequila? So, Paul Tequila?
Yes. I can't be upset because, like, they're a really attractive couple, and it's nice to see her happy, because, which, you know, it's hard not to feel queer baited when your favorite queer artist does come out with... In a
heterosexual relationship.
Dating a man.
I know. You do feel a little betrayed. You're like, I'm not mad at you, but I am betrayed.
I'm disappointed.
Which is a bit worse, isn't it? Yeah. So my number two is Happier Than Ever, Billie Eilish. I honestly thought I was going to hate this album. I'm sure you saw my tweet when it first came, when I was listening to the singles when they were coming out. I was like, girl, I hate all of these singles. I think I'm going to hate your album and I already pre-ordered it. What am I going to do? But, you know, she pulled a rabbit out of her asshole because that, like, every other song other than the singles I love. And NDA...
What were the singles?
Therefore I Am... Well, actually it was My Future, I guess, first. Then Therefore I Am... Lost Cause, and what was the last one? NDA. Mm-hmm. Although I do like My Future. I do like that song, so I can't say I hated all of them. And NDA grew on me after I got the album. So I'm like, that one and Therefore I Am grew on me after I got the album. But I'm like, you know, I'm still not a huge fan of Lost Cause per se. But hearing the album as a whole, I definitely got more of like what I was listening to. And I'm like, it like all the wheels just clicked, especially because like I was saying, like when it comes to listening to albums the way the artists intend them to be listened to, and I think this is honestly, I feel like that influence comes a lot from Beyonce. And like years ago she did that interview where she was talking about like artists don't make albums anymore where it's like you listen to it all the way through. It's like they just make like singles to like get their music out there and whatnot. And it really just stuck with me because I was just like, because there are certain albums I'll listen to where I'm just like, none of this makes sense. And it's like, because they were made to like, for the standout singles, and then everything else is like with it, kind of. But I think having an album that plays very well from start to finish and gives a good cohesive vision of what you are doing, especially from album to album, because it seems like, especially like with artists these days, from album to album, they almost seem like phases, personally. Which I guess makes sense because, you know, it's as you grow and as a person and as an artist, you're just like, oh, I'm not that person anymore, which is why people are like, oh, I don't like to play that song anymore because it makes me sad or whatever the fuck. Like with Ariana and, is it Get Well Soon or... Maybe it's Ghostin. I think it's Ghostin or something. It's like she's... says that she cries when she sings that song or whatever. And I'm like, it makes sense. I get it. But my favorite songs from Happier Than Ever are Getting Older, Billy Bossa Nova, and Goldwing.
Okay. I would say the first two are probably one of my like lesser favorites off the album.
Mm.
But because I just don't love My Future. I mean, I get what she's doing with it. And what was the second one you said?
Billy Bossanova.
Yeah, that's okay. I have my list would look a little different, but
okay. Yeah. I mean, that makes sense because again, if we're in the sad girl realm, there's a different side of the album for that, which would be like male fantasy, which she just released a music video for that. I haven't watched it yet, but I do want to see it because I do love that song.
I do appreciate her like kind of honesty in approach with like, I feel like she's just very honest about like, and she's very aware of like the public perception of herself mm-hmm. and like learning how to
navigate that
in a way that's like very open of like, I am dealing with this because you all are doing this to me.
Right.
Type of deal. So it kind of feels like an album that's kind of holding people accountable. And I actually watched her Vogue, where she does the like.
The same interview every year.
Yeah, and it's cute. It's cute. I like it. It's good content.
Yeah, I haven't watched that one yet, but I saw like the very beginning, and we were looking at the stills like of her from each year, and her friend was like, "Oh, 2016, she was going through it because she looked like she did not want to be there."
She even says that in the interview. She was like, that Billy was going through an identity crisis. she even recognized it.
Yeah, but no, I totally agree with you. Like, I think that's probably why I like a lot. Well, I listen to more female artists than anything is because I feel like
same here.
There's just like a certain vulnerability that you can hear through the music that, you know, connects with people and at least and definitely resonates with me because I mean, you know, sometimes it's very hard to articulate exactly how you're feeling and then you'll hear like a song that like gets it or just like puts it into a certain perspective and you're like, yes, this is exactly what I mean, but no one else really gets it. So I love that about Billie's music, and I think that's why she's been so praised, especially with like, you know, accolades and stuff like that and critic wise because she's so young and she can articulate exactly how she feels or at least some semblance of how she's feeling so vividly and so well and in a very creative way that spans beyond her years. And I think that's really going to be a testament of like her music standing the test of time, because I can keep like this particular album, it's very indicative of right now, but we could hear it in probably like 30 years and it would still sound fairly fresh.
That's what I was sort of thinking as I kind of realized the other day. I was like, Billy is someone that will be making music her entire life. Like she will have a discography that will go well into, you know, I don't know. Like she will always be making music. And I think that that's really exciting. She's one of the first artists that I kind of like, it's one of those like, I worry about her because I worry about her and her mental health. I'm like, she's an artist that I do not want to lose
right.
on account of any reason. And so like, I feel very protective of her in that sense. So I'm always like happy when, you know, she kind of has like an awareness that goes outside of herself or, you know, that she has like Phineas kind of like
looking out for her
and attacked himself. Yeah, but like it's very much his music so much as it is
hers. Exactly. Yeah. Also, she's very close and connected with her family. So unless God forbid something happens to them, I foresee that they're very much after. I saw her I watched her Apple documentary. I mean, I didn't care for it that much because I feel like I didn't get to know too much about Billy the like person mm-hmm. versus Billy the artist. But the bits I did see of her family and stuff, I'm like, they're very close. They seem to keep very close tabs on her to make sure that she's all right and stuff. So, I mean, in that regard, I'm not too worried because she at least has a very good unit around her to keep her grounded and protected to a certain regard.
Well, I will just go ahead and say on the topic, and I will tell you that my number one of the year is Happier Than Ever.
Oh,
the Eilish.
Nice. So, a good flip.
I really do feel like, because I think I just, I think like the thing I was most apprehensive about going into this album was like, you know, is she gonna live up to the hype and everything sort of, and success that her first album reached. And I think like as far as a sophomore album goes, it's very impressive.
Yes.
And I think it holds its own. Is it going to be the one of the best albums that she puts out? I don't think so. I think she will make much better music. But like, it's a good one. And I like listened to it a lot this year. And my three songs were Oxytocin, NDA, and Goldwing.
Interesting.
I also watched her Disney, because I have Disney Plus, so I'm big on watching absolutely everything Disney right now, but she has her like concert on there, and she's singing live, and granted I had taken a whole gummy and I was just having a really religious experience the whole time, but I was like, oh my god, like her vocal control, and honestly just her vocals were like incredible. I don't know what she, like I'm not a big, like I don't understand vocals, but whatever she does with her voice, she's definitely learned to master it at this point. And like, she, I feel like she really leaned into her like strengths as a vocalist on this album.
I agree. So. She did. It was, it's definitely a very vocal performative, vocally performative album. Cause she seems to let Finneas do a lot of the, I don't know if this is 100% accurate, because I know like, she has been doing a lot of producing of her music since the first album, because I know Bad Guy, I think she worked on the second part of the production for that. But I feel like she's kind of letting Finneas do the like the music part, and then she just does the vocal part, which, I mean, honestly, probably works better for her in the long run. But I don't know. She could definitely be doing like a Mariah Carey, where basically she's doing everything. Because Mariah does that. She's like, I do all the performing. I do a lot of the producing. I do all the writing.
Pulling a Grimes.
Yeah. Because, I mean, that's what makes you an artist versus just an entertainer or a performer. Because if you can't or don't do those things, it's like you're missing one whole aspect of the creative process. And sometimes you can do it by yourself. Who knows? You can just go in the woods one day and just be like, hey, I made an album. That's interesting that this was your, well, I won't say it's interesting that's your top. I actually expected it to be somewhere near your top, but I wasn't expecting it to be number one. I think I was probably expecting Red to be like number one or at least number two.
I couldn't do it because like it's just a re-release, you know, like it's not like it's new music and it's not like she's doing anything different really.
Yeah.
And some of the vocals were a little disappointing. But
yeah.
Whatever.
Okay.
No, but yeah, I think I honestly, like, I pretty much decided like very early on in the year that this was going to be my number one. I was like, it's going to take a lot to
knock it off,
to top it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So before I get into my number one, I do want to ask you one other question. How did you feel about the new Lorde album? Because that was also released this year.
Oh my God. I listened to it once, maybe twice. And I forgot that that was released this year and I did not even consider it. I have not revisited it. I was like, girl, I don't know what we're doing. I was drove back from like a shoot from Delaware and I put it on and I was like, this is not the vibe. And then I put it on again at another time and I was like, this is still not the vibe. I don't know when the vibe is for this album. It was a disappointment.
Yeah, I can feel you on that. I like, that's another one I also pre-ordered. So it got here before, like,
right, I forgot you
it got here right after I heard it and I was just like, oof. I mean, I've played it twice, like, as the record, and I mean, at least the last time I listened to it, I was like, okay, I don't hate it like I did the first three listens. So I mean, there are some songs that I like, but overall, I'm just, like, not really getting her concept for this. Like, I feel like everyone is like, oh, it's not bad. Or, like, most people I've been hearing talk about it, they'll say it's not bad, but, you know, it's definitely the worst Lorde album that she's done.
It kind of feels like, and I really just can't, the album cover, I think I needed a preface to. I needed, like, a, hey, this is incoming, because it was a little... it's a little much, and it feels like she's kind of mocking us in a way.
Yeah.
With like the songs, the music, with the album cover, with just the press and how she handled everything.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't hate it, but there's nothing kind of salvageable in my mind. So
what's really funny is I watched the Fantano review of it, and he was talking about how this album is kind of semi-mocking the types of people who would listen to this type of music, like the hippy-dippy type of people who are like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. But he's like, it doesn't really sound like a critique of them, just more like it is the thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, I agree with that. It doesn't sound like it's really making fun of those people. It sounds more like it's just music for those people. And I don't know. With Charlie XCX randomly saying, like, Lord will always have the last laugh. And I'm like, what does that mean? I keep, like, every time I think about that album, I just, like, think about that quote. And I'm like, what does that mean? I'm like, is she just trolling us with this? And then everyone's like, I hate it.
Well, I think where I'm at, I'm like, girl, if you don't want to do music, just don't do music. Like, it doesn't feel like she made it for her.
Yeah.
Herself.
It really.
And also just kind of like, yeah.
It feels more like a contractual obligation. Weird.
Didn't Lana also release an album this year?
Yes, Blue Bannisters.
Okay, so I honestly don't know why I peg you as this massive Lana fan, but I really thought that she was going to be somewhere on your top 10. But I'm kind of relieved that it's not.
No, I did listen to it, but not a top 10.
It's also a flop, so.
Yeah. I mean, it's not bad, but by any means or whatever, but it's not good either. Very whelmed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but my number one album of the year is Sour by Olivia Rodrigo.
Oh, all right, okay.
Yeah.
I think you were kind of offended when you were like, really, for my number seven. So I could sense it coming. I was like,
no, I wasn't offended. I was just surprised it was that low. So my top songs were Traitor, Jealousy, Jealousy, and Deja Vu.
Mm-hmm.
Which it's funny because it's completely opposite of yours, almost.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like it's very interesting on why I've resonated with this album so much, because, I mean, again,
it's surprised me. It's definitely thrown for me for like you and our other friend. I was like, you guys are not teenage girls, but like are very into this album.
I know. It's
I
think it was the emotional vulnerability of it, because again, like the songs I really bonded to were like Deja Vu and Traitor. Well, I love the production of Deja Vu, but Traitor, it really got to me on like that lyrical content level because of like what she was talking about. And again, this is another, I have a lot of songs that I resonate with but do not relate to.
Mm-hmm.
And this is another one of those where I was just like, no, I've never been in a relationship where I felt betrayed per se. Like, not in that, like, dating someone, but I mean, like, you know, feel like you're betrayed like by a friend or something. So maybe that's why it, like, mm-hmm. resonated with me, because I'm like, you know, on some level I have felt that way, but not in a relationship. So that's why I was just like, I don't know if I per se relate to this in the intended way, but I do.
I mean, it's also a good album. I mean, it's a solid album. And again, very impressive for like, I feel like very impressive and very refreshing and exciting to have like a 18-year-old kind of like pop star again. Because I feel like Billy was kind of really the last one. And even then, she like her music wasn't really for everyone. Mm. And I think it was surprising that she did. I feel like Gen Zers were definitely like to thank for that.
Yeah.
But I feel like, I don't know, Olivia Rodrigo just kind of, again, has like a little wider of a reach.
Yeah. It's just kind of funny that I was thinking about, what does it say about me that I relate so much or resonate so much with this 18-year-old girl's music? But, I mean, a lot of people did. So, I mean, I think it really is just, like, a testament of no matter at like what age you are or whatever, you still feel a lot of these feelings just from different places. And, you know, I always think about like how we grow up and we always think like, oh, just because I'm older now, I'm not going to feel that way anymore. Or because you grow up, you're just going to have different perspectives on these types of things. And it's like, yeah, you may have an outside perspective and it may not get to you as much as it did, but you still feel the exact same way about it almost.
Yeah, for sure. I think it also kind of takes you out, like, especially with like brutal. I don't know. Brutal to me is like very teen angsty. And I think like, I especially even more now, like understand what teen angst is. And like, it's very that. And I'm like, yeah, it is brutal out here.
Yeah.
Like, and it was then when I was 16, 17. So
I think they really only call it teen angst because you're vocal about it then. It's like when you get older, you're just like, I'm still angsty. It's just no longer teenage. I am just 40-year-old angst or something.
Midlife crisis.
Yeah, it's, they call it different things, but I'm like, I think it's still just angst.
Fair enough.
Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, those were our albums of the year, everybody. I hope we all got some new music recommendations from this. Again, I'm a little surprised at how much crossover we had, but again, not as much.
No, I feel like we actually align musically a lot more than not.
Yeah.
Especially like within the lines of pop, especially.
Yes, I agree. So, well, thank you guys for listening. And, you know, I hope to see you all, like as if we look at each other. We're on a podcast. I hope to be with you guys next year again and see you soon. Bye.
So.